You know, how come? Well, if you don't, I don't know.
I'm with you.
I question him all the time. He gives me this word, and I said, Lord, you really want me to share this word? You know, sometimes I say, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go over. You know, should I really share this word? And for the last couple of weeks, he kept saying, yeah, I want you to share it. So I had the title that I know it should be titled. And I says, do I really title it that? I think that's everybody's going to get up and walk out. So I came up with a different title. I'll tell you that in a second. But the new title is, There's No Place Like Home. Isn't that nice? I love that title. All right? There's No Place Like Home. The original title was Death. You see why I didn't want to share it? I mean, it's not something we really want to hear too much about. Death. So I'm going to call it There's No Place Like Home. All right? But it is a message you need to consider. I really want you to, you know, very often we go to church and we hear a sermon. Hey, look, can I share something with you? There have been times when I've shared my own message. And on Monday mornings, I transfer the message to my computer upstairs, and then I put it on our website. So if anybody wasn't here, they want to hear it. And I'll be in my office, and I'll be transferring the message. And I actually, Sue, have you ever remembered me intercomming you and saying, what was the title of my message yesterday? I don't remember it myself. And I know very often you hear a sermon, whatever, you walk away, and it's, that was nice. But this is a message I want you to consider. I really want you to consider. And you'll understand why as I go along. First of all, I'm sure you've heard the expression, there's only two things in life you can really count on. Death and taxes. You know there's going to be taxes. There's taxes on everything. There's taxes on your house. There's taxes on your car. There's taxes on your salary. There's federal, there's state, there's unemployment, there's Social Security, there's Medicare. There's taxes on everything you buy. Taxes are not going to go away. There'll always be taxes. And, unfortunately, there'll always be death. In the many years that we've been pastoring, and even actually before, way before we even started pastoring, I had been called upon to speak at wakes when someone has passed away. And I have to admit, I'm not crazy about speaking at wakes. It's kind of a difficult situation, especially if you didn't know the person. And there have been many occasions where I didn't know the person who had passed away. Now, there are some wakes that really turn out very good. You know, it's a much older person who lived a great life, who loved the Lord, was healthy right until the end, and the time almost becomes a time of celebration. You know, everybody's sharing, you know, the pictures. There's the picture scrolling on the TV screen in the funeral parlor. And, hey, remember him when he did that? And remember that? And everybody's even kind of rejoicing and laughing and having a good time because the man or woman, whoever it was, you know, lived a great life. And it was awesome. And I remember a time years ago. Some of you who have been here for a long time, we remember Brother Massone, Victor Massone. He was a precious brother. He really, really was. And he lived a good, considerably longer life. And I mean, he probably should have lived a little bit longer than he did. So I was asked to speak at the wake. And I get up, and it's very solemn. It's really very solemn. It's very quiet and whatever. And I get up, and I'm just about to begin. I think I had just begun speaking, maybe opening in prayer, and it's very quiet, and it's very, very solemn. And I forgot to shut my phone off. the ringer on my phone. And the ringer on my phone is the Hallelujah chorus. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this quietness, you hear, Hallelujah, Well, you know what? It was the greatest thing that could have happened. Everybody burst out laughing. It broke that heavy spirit, and it just became a wonderful evening. But some weeks are not so good. It could be a younger person who unfortunately died through accident or illness or whatever the case. And it's very, very difficult to try and bring consolation and comfort. You know, you can, if it's the case, we all go to the loved ones and say, well, you know, he's in a better place and, you know, he's in God's presence. And that's all beautiful and that's all nice, but that really doesn't. It really doesn't take away the pain or the sting. So it's very difficult. You know, as I was going over this message and talking, thinking about this, and I remembered to myself the very, very first time I was ever asked to speak at a wake, a long time ago, well, probably over 35 years ago. I was the principal in the school downstairs, but I wasn't an elder, a pastor, or anything. And the only reason I was asked, because the woman who was her brother had passed away. I can't recall if she worked or volunteered in the school, but she was around the school a lot. And when her brother passed away, she came to me and she said, Mr. Pagg, would you do the wake? Would you speak at the wake? I says, I had never done that before. I had never even preached a message before or anything like that. And what am I going to say? I'm not going to say no. I says, okay. I says, I didn't know her brother. I had never even met her brother. Never even seen him. He was a younger guy. He was in his late 20s or early 30s. And I says, could you give me as much information about him as possible so I know, you know, what to share when I get up to speak? And she gives me this next day or whatever, a list of information about him. And it begins with, he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. I says, okay. Next thing is, he was gay. I says, oh my goodness. And then he died of a drug overdose that they really believe was probably self-inflicted. So they believe it was suicide. So I have to share about an individual who I didn't know, who was a gay atheist who had killed himself. What do you possibly, talking about baptism by fire, what do you possibly share to give the family hope? Well, it was so long ago, I can't remember what I did share, tell you the truth. But whatever I did, God must have given it to me, because the family was very, very happy with whatever it was that I shared, which I found very hard to even believe. You say to yourself, and I thought we've probably asked the question a million times, why do we have to die? Why do we have to die? And one of the reasons I can think of, I mean, how could you really appreciate life if there wasn't death? Okay? Does anybody remember? You're going to think I'm crazy. There was a movie out a long, long time ago. It was called Oh God. George Burns played the role of God. I don't know if any of you remember it. Funny movie. I mean, it wasn't biblically correct in any way, but it was funny. But there was one scene that really stuck with me. I can't remember any of the rest of the movie. But this one scene where somebody goes before God, who's George Burns, and he says, I have a question that has always bothered me. Could you answer it for me? And God says, I'll try. And he says, why did you create evil? So God pauses and he says, you know, I had a problem. He says, I couldn't figure out how. Now, this is what I'm saying. It's not biblically correct. Of course, God could figure out anything. But he says, I couldn't figure out how to make an up without a down. I couldn't figure out how to make an in without an out. And I couldn't figure out how to make good without there being evil. If there was no evil, there'd be no good. Because there'd be nothing to compare it to. You follow what I'm saying? So why do we have to die? Answer is basically we have to die in order to live. We are living this life, but there's another whole life. And the only way to get from one to the other is by what we call dying, what we experience as dying. There's also other reasons. And I want to just read a verse from a very seldom quoted book, Minor Prophet Micah. You don't have to turn to it. You can write it down if you want. I'm just going to quote it. It's Micah chapter 2, verse 10. And this is what it says. Now, let me set the scene. This is Israel we think we're in a bad time now. This was a very bad time in the time frame of Israel. Things were just terrible in the land. There were all these false prophets, people prophesying falsely, purposely. All kinds of horrific things are going on amongst the people, you know, murders and crime and disobedience and faithlessness and so on and so forth. And the Lord speaks through the prophet, and he says to the people, arise and go, or arise and depart, for this is no place to rest. Because of uncleanness that destroys with a grievous destruction. He's telling the people, I've got to get you out of here. This is no place for you to stay. And the world, I believe, is well on its way to getting to that place where this is no place for us to remain. The day is going to come where God has got to say, I got to get you out of here. Because if you stay here, you'll be faced with utterly destruction. You know the Word of God says that if he didn't shorten the days, that even the elite would end up turning away. So there is going to come a time when God is going to call us to arise and depart from this place. The hour is approaching when this message is going to come to each and every one of us. As it comes to all of us, the way it came to Abraham. Remember when the word came to Abraham in Genesis 12? He says to Abraham, arise and go forth from the home in which you have lived, from the city in which you have done your business, from your family, from your friends. Arise, I'm taking you out of here. That same word is going to come to each and every one of us. And I began thinking about that when he said to Abraham, I'm going to take you forth from the home in which you've lived. You know, and I titled this, There's No Place Like Home. Our home is our shelter, isn't it? It's our little cocoon that we all go to. We get away from the world. We can even get away from some of our problems and our troubles. It's our security blanket, our home. And he's going to take us away, even from that home. He says, I'm going to take you away from the city in which you've done your business. And I says to myself, I can't imagine. You know, we've lived all over the place. I was born and raised in Copeg, right here. My mother was born in Copeg. That's how long ago we've been here. She saw Marconi come to Copeg. This has been my city. I know the streets like the back of my hand. I walked them as a kid, as a teenager, hanging out and whatever, getting in trouble sometimes. But I know Copeg like no place else. And no matter where we've lived in Lindenhurst. We lived in North Babylon. We've lived in West Babylon. We lived down in Florida. Then we lived out in Center Reach. Now we live in Brightwood. None of that. And we lived in North Bamlin for, what, 24 years? It never was my hometown. We lived in Center Reach for 19 years. It never was my hometown. Copaig was and is and always will be my hometown. But the day is going to come when he's going to take me from the city in which I've done my business, where I've lived and where I've called home. He's going to take you away from your family, from your friends. The day that call is going to come upon each and every one of us. You know, when I share at funerals, one of the often things I ask people, I say, does anybody know what the mortality rate is amongst human beings? Anybody know? It's 100%. None of us get out of here alive. None of us, except with the one exception, which is what I've always prayed. Chances of it happening are very, very slim. The one exception is that when you're still alive, when he returns, you know, he says the graves are going to open first, and then those who remain will join them in the air. I want to be amongst those who remain. That's really my prayer. I'd love to be amongst those who remain, see him coming, and join them in the clouds. I mean, the odds of that happening are kind of slim. But the thing is, which I also always share at wakes, is the thing is, and why I'm sharing it this morning, is we don't on a daily basis contemplate eternity, do we? I don't know about you. I wake up in the morning, I turn, I put my feet on the floor. I never say, oh, Lord, where am I going to spend eternity? I don't do that. I don't know about you. I'm already, do I wear white socks or black socks? Do I put on the yellow shirt or the green? And I wore the green shirt 2 days ago. Can't wear that one again, so I need to. We don't wake up contemplating eternity. The rare occasion when most people contemplate eternity are at wakes. Because here you are facing mortality. Here you are facing the fact that the day is going to come when you're going to be there. That's why it is a great opportunity to share the gospel. I have to say that. So the day is going to come when we're called to arise and take our last journey. Have you ever been on a journey? A journey isn't going from Amityville to Lindenhurst. That's not a journey. A journey is a process that usually takes time. It's over time. I can remember the first journey I can remember that I ever went on. I guess I was 20 years old. I was in college. It was during the height, 1967. It was in the height of the Vietnam War. War is going hot and heavy. I've got a student deferment because there was the draft at that time. But as soon as I graduated, I went through the summer, so I graduated in September. I immediately got my reclassification papers 1A. I knew I was getting drafted. All my friends were getting drafted. So what did I do? Upon the recommendation of one of my cousins, I went out and I joined the Marine Reserves so I wouldn't get drafted. I won't tell you the story about how I ended up joining the Marine Reserves. That's for another time. But I went out and I joined the Marine Reserves because I knew as a reservist, I couldn't be sent over there. But I still had to do, I went through the regular training that every Marine went through in Parris Island. You've heard the stories, probably seen the movies. They don't even come close to what it's really like. Plus the fact that because it was a war, basic training for the Marines was usually 12 weeks. But they had to consolidate it down to 9 weeks to get as many guys as possible over to Vietnam. So they crammed 9 weeks of training, 12 weeks of training down into nine. It was insanity. And knowing the Marines, I enlisted, I signed the papers, I think in September, October. You know what date I had a report for duty? This is the Marine Corps for you. Thanksgiving morning. Not the day before. Not even Thanksgiving afternoon. Thanksgiving morning, I had a report for duty. And the nightmare began. That was my first journey, okay? And I'm sure, like you, we've been through many journeys, moving. We moved, I don't know how many times we've moved. Way too many times. I'm hoping the move we recently made 6 years ago is going to be the final move. But we've been on many journeys. And I just want to tell you another quick story about the journey. Well, I have a DVD called The Journey. I've shown it here in church years ago. Maybe I'll show it again. But just, this was like a mini journey. I had ordered a part through the internet. This is going back another 20 years, 18, 20 years ago. I'm in my office upstairs, and I had ordered a part for my computer, and it came, and there's the box on my desk. So I was excited to get it out because it was something I really needed. I opened up the box, and you know, whenever you order something like that, you open it up, beside the packing, there's all these brochures and magazines and things they want you to buy and subscribe to and on, and I'm scrambling through all this other junk to try and get to the part. There's also a DVD in there. I figured, look at The Journey. It's another solicitation. Who knows what it's for? I took all of it with the DVD, threw it all in the garbage, and I got out the part, and I did what I had to do. This was in the morning. And I never gave it a second thought. I'm getting ready to leave in the afternoon. It's like the Holy Spirit is just prompting me. Take another look at that DVD. It's just a solicitation. Take another look at that DVD. So now, I had already had lunch, the remains of that was in the garbage, and all the mail was in. I had to dig through the garbage now to find this DVD, pull it out, throw it in my computer. Let me see what the heck this is all about. Throw it in the computer. It's a testimony of a man and what he went through. From the verge of suicide, it was his journey. I'm sitting in there, crying like a baby in my office all by myself. And I go home and I show it to my wife. I said, we got to show this in church. So we showed it in church, and everybody was crying and was touched by it. People came up to me afterwards, where'd you get that DVD? How do I get one? I don't know. It came in a box with a bunch of other junk. So I look on the back of the DVD, and the guy in the DVD whose story it was about, his name was Jim Hanna, real country guy from the Midwest, lived out in the mountains of Minnesota. And I look on the back of the DVD, and there's his name, Jim Hanna, with a phone number. I says, I wonder if I call this number, if I'll get it. I call the number. Who answers the phone? Jim Hanna. I says, is this Jim? Yes, with his real Midwestern accent. I says, my name is Eugene Pagarillo. I'm a pastor of a church on Long Island. He says, Long Island? Yeah. I says, anyway, listen, I got a hold of your DVD, The Journey, and there are people who would like copies of it. He says, how'd you get my copy of The Journey? He says, that hasn't been around. I says, it was in a box with a delivery I got. He says, what? How did that get in there? I says, I don't know. I have no idea, but it got to me. And he says, what was your name again? I said, my last name is Pagliarulo. You're going to laugh. He says, Pagliarulo? He says, is that Italian? I says, yes, it is. He says, wow! He says, I ain't never talked to a real live WAP before. I'm cracking up on the other end of the phone because he didn't mean any disrespect for it. But calling an Italian a WAP is, it's like using the N-word or a lot of derogatory words. But he didn't mean it that way at all. And he says, look, I have a few copies. He says, I'll be more than happy to just send them to you. And he did. I'm going to show that DVD again, maybe soon. You'll really... It is really an awesome. Did you? I tell you, it even after all these times, I could watch it now and still start crying again all over again. But this is what a journey is. Now, we are all going to be called to go on a journey someday. And here's the thing. What do we really know about this journey? What do we really know about the place that we're going? Yeah, I know. We've read about it. You can read about it to some degree in Scripture. And some of it has been really revealed to us even by the Spirit. But really, we really know very little about this future realm. You could sit with people and you can say, what are we going to do? Are we going to be ruling over? Maybe there's some other planets and other galaxies that God created. Maybe there's life someplace else. Are we going to be ruling over? What are we going to be doing? What is it really going to be like? You know, we know that there's metaphorically this black and stormy river called death that God's going to call us to cross. But he does promise to be with us. Amen? He promises to be with us, okay? But after death, what comes? What unbelievable world is going to be in our face? Are we going to be looking at? What scene of glory are we really going to be looking at? You know, no one has traveled there and come back and told us. Now, all right, I know some of you probably say, no, I saw this guy in a talk show. He died and went to heaven and he came back. I'm not talking about that. I don't even want to go there. But no one has really genuinely, bona fidely died, was dead and buried and went and spent a month or two there and come back and really told us exactly, because you can't. Okay, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. So we really don't know. But we do know enough, amen, that this heavenly land that we're being called to, we can embrace and look forward to with joy and gladness. You understand what I'm saying? You know, when I was first saved, and we were in our 20s when we first came to know the Lord, and it wasn't sure after that we came to know through Bible studies and teaching and reading and preaching and coming. We came here immediately and we heard it over and over again. The Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. The Lord is returning. Jesus is coming back. You know, the rapture and everything. And back in those days, there were those videos. What was that whole series of videos? Left Behind series, that whole thing. You're scared of daylights out of you. And I remember saying to myself, Lord, not now. I'm just starting a family. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to have a few grand. Not now. Please, Lord. Not now. Now it's 50 years later. And now I find myself saying, any day's good now, Lord. Any day. Come, Lord Jesus. You know, the Word of God even says that there's a crown being reserved, specifically people who are awaiting his appearance. Isn't that awesome? But I say any day is good now, Lord. You know, this journey of death that I'm talking about, the truth is we can really travel it fearlessly because we know God's with us. We know the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me, Lord. Yes, we're going to be leaving all that we've known, all that we've loved here, but we're going to be going to our Father's house. We're going to be going to our Father's home, where Jesus is, that royal city whose builder and maker is God. We're going to be going to our Father's house. You know, I made mention before that we just went through about a 3-month process of adding on to our house. You know why? Because we moved from this house out in Center Reach. We had this big house. I mean, we could fit tons of people in there. And all the family gatherings, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day, everything was always by Mom and Dad's house. Well, it got too big for us. And after 19 years, I couldn't make the trip. And it was too much to travel back and forth, sometimes twice a day from there to here. So we moved into this little tiny grandma's house in Bright Waters. But little did we know, it was a little too tiny. We had this tiny little dining room We're 25 people when we get together for the holidays. And we just couldn't fit in there. We had to put the kids in another room, some other people in another room, and those that remained in there. If, God forbid, you had to get up to go to the bathroom. Four people had to get up so you could, you know, get out. And, you know, so we started having all our family gatherings at my oldest son Paul's house, which was beautiful. It's been great for him to open up his house and do that. We've had him at restaurants to give them a break. We actually had him here in the cafe, I think a Thanksgiving or a Christmas or something like that. But it wasn't the same as Mom and Dad's house. They want to come to Mom and Dad's house. So he says, we got to make the house bigger. I went, hey, I've been pastoring here for a long time, working here for 40 years. I'm not a rich man. I says, we got to do this. So we put on this nice big extension to the dining room, and now we can fit everybody and all the kids comfortably. And because they want to be at Dad's house. That's where they want to be. And that's where we're going. We're going to our Father's house. Amen? Amen. It's something we should be looking forward to. It's something we should be thinking of often, because it'll help us to press on through all the garbage that we have every day, everything we have to deal with every day. I know where I'm going. I'm going to Daddy's house. I can't wait to get there. He's going to have a Madonna Antipasto like I never saw before. I can't wait to get there. You know, yeah, there's valley of tears along the way, but it's along the way to a better place. This world is a world full of problems, but those problems are really just stepping stones to a place filled with unbelievable glory. But here's the thing, and you may or may not agree with me, but I think that Scripture bears me out to some degree, depending on how you interpret it. I don't think it's really going to be all that different from what we know now. Only it's going to be perfected as it was in the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? He's going to create a whole new heaven and earth. And I don't think he created all that we have here with all its beauty, beside all the garbage. This is a beautiful, beautiful creation. I mean, we've just been going through fall, the beauty, the color. Even winter will be beautiful with the white and the spring, the new growth. He didn't just create this for nothing. They just discarded it. The Bible says it's going to come down and he's going to live with us. I believe he's going to bring us back to the way it was in the beginning. No death. There wasn't supposed to be death. It was just beauty. Lion with the lamb. The beauty of creation the way it was intended. That's what I'm looking forward to. You can or might not agree with me. But that's my hope. Because, first of all, I can't anticipate what it's going to be like. But I really don't want to leave all of this and all the beauty that he created in it. I just don't want mosquitoes. I want it perfected. I don't want to have to worry about the loose dog down the road biting me. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that's the way it's going to be. And he's going to rule and reign in all his authority and all his beauty. And I say all of this to ask you to think about these things often, because it will help you get through the daily problems, those daily stepping stones of problems, those daily situations that you find yourself in, knowing that tomorrow you'll be one day closer to Daddy's house. He's going to call all of us eventually. May it be a beautiful experience. But the end result, we know, will be beautiful. Amen? Stand with me. I know it's not the kind of message. I'd love to teach on faith and love and walking in the Spirit. But sometimes you have to talk reality. Sometimes you have to really get down to the nuts and bolts of things. Father, my prayer is that you prepare us. Lord, prepare us for what the road that lies ahead, that each day as we walk upon that road, we will have the assurance of knowing where we're going, the assurance of knowing you'll be with us every step of the way, and the faith to believe that in the interim, you're going to use us to touch many lives and bring as many with us as possible. May our mouths constantly be filled with testimony and witness and the words that you have given us, whether they seem to fall on deaf ears or not. We know that you're planting seeds through us. May we truly be your ambassadors, Father, every step of the way. Lord, I pray for your hand of mercy to be upon each and every one of us. Father, that as we anticipate the day that we're going to be together with you at Daddy's house forever in eternity, Father, prepare us. Prepare us, to, like the song says, to be a sanctuary, Father, and prepare us for what you've called us to be and what you've called us to do. May these words, I pray, find a lodging place in each and every one of our hearts, that we remember them and we retain them, and we do contemplate as often as possible all that you've done for us, all that you're doing for us, and all that you have promised you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Please join us in the cafe as we celebrate with our precious sister and anybody else who might have a birthday this month. God bless you.
This is